everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Sal and Bob Show. I'm comedian Bob Phillips, and across from me at this wonderful Italian table that we're going to tell you about in a little bit is my friend and show partner, comedian Sal D'Amelio. How are you, Sally?
Hello, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, man. It couldn't be better. Here it is. It's May 2nd. It's warm. It was 82 degrees today. It's cooling down a little bit. We are at Giannitti's.
Yes.
One of the staple, but probably the staple restaurant in my hometown of Northville, Michigan. The proprietor, Laura Giannitti, a wonderful lady who could actually do comedy on stage. She's so funny.
Very funny.
And
great personality.
And she put out the spread for us today, mm-hmm. and allowed us to come in and do the show from her restaurant. If you folks love Italian food, you've got to check out Giannitti's in Northville, Michigan. The sausage and peppers.
It's a treasure, man. It's
the
such
soup.
Good food.
Everything is great. The wine selection. And it's just such a warm and fun atmosphere. It's just, you know.
A lot of character in there.
Yeah.
They got great events, great shows, anywhere from a mystery dinner to...
Yep.
plays to Jason Magic. Our buddy Jason Magic performs there regularly. We perform there on a regular basis, you know, mm-hmm. a couple times a year with our comedy shows. Just a great place.
It is. You know? And we love the Giannitti family. They've been around a long time, and they're an anchor up here in Little Northville, Michigan. So thank you, Laura Giannitti.
Yes,
thanks for hosting us. It's May 2nd. It's a Sunday.
I think we chose this place because it's a stone's throw away from one of our favorite places, the Northville Downs, where it was packed yesterday because of the Derby.
Oh man!
So you know she was busy here at Giannitti's because everybody was at the track. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby was not at that track.
But tracks all around the country celebrate the Kentucky Derby,
correct.
And it's all simulcast. So. And what was it? Medina? Funky Cold Medina won it? I forget.
Funky,
Medina something.
It might have been called Moderna. It would have been.
I made a joke about that. I said, I said something like the Moderna horse won it.
You know, oh, that's good.
And Pfizer came in fifth. P-F-I-F-T-H. Never mind. Yeah. I can't do spelling puns on the air. You can't see what I'm spelling. But here we are. It's a great time. We've got... way too much food in us. We got a couple of bottles of wine in us, and it's great to be with you again, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We had a great weekend. We were at we both performed at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. It was the ensemble. I don't know what did Roger call it, the Fabulous Four or something like that, or
the Funny Four
or the Funny
team.
Four, yeah, the yeah. Funny Four team. And it was myself. It was you. It was Jeff Brandon. Ken Evans stopped by. DC Malone stopped by.
So it was really the Funny Five.
It was,
hey,
yeah,
who's counting?
Was the Funny Five. And but we all did 15, 20 minutes. It was almost like we were talking about it off podcast here. That it was like going to the comedy store, going to the comedy cellar, because it was just good comedians doing 15, 20 minutes, and that was
one
it.
After
that's
the
how
other.
It that's how it's done out in those clubs.
Yeah, it wasn't the normal, three person,
correct.
90 minute show, MC, feature, headliner. We each did, like 15, 20 minutes tops.
Yeah. You know, when you've been headlining a lot or even featuring a lot, and then all of a sudden you got to do 15 minutes, you're kind of editing yourself before you go up. You're like, what do I want to do? What do I want to work on? Am I going to do 5 new and 10 that's proven?
Yeah.
So you just do that in your head, and it was, we all had our moments where we went over.
It was so weird trying to do 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And the first show Saturday couldn't have been a better crowd. I mean,
we
all wanted
great.
To stay up there longer.
Yeah, we did.
Because they were so good.
Yeah.
And but it was a fun weekend, man. It was our little tribute to Bill Hildebrandt.
And by the way, I thought that was a very classy move of yours at the end of the evening.
Oh, thanks, man.
People forgot that he was on that bill.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he passed away a couple of weeks ago. And then we had to backfill. We had to bring in somebody else to big shoes to fill. So you went up there and
at the end. I didn't do it at the beginning.
I thought that was really cool. It was classy, just like you. And it was a nice touch. Put a bow on the weekend.
I appreciate that, man. I was like, you know, I'm not gonna end this weekend without saying anything about that. And the crowd loved to hear it. They loved to hear about him. You know,
yeah,
when I said that.
They didn't even know him, or maybe some of them have seen him, but they appreciated what you did, and it was a moment. You created a moment. It was great.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, no problem.
It was a fun weekend. So we're there. We had a great time. Go to the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, see some more shows.
Hey, let's talk about our producer. The young Nate Armbruster was down in the Comedy Cabana.
He was down where you were just at.
Yeah, so I was there last week.
Nathan went down there
and did 7 shows. And congratulations, Nate.
Yes.
That was a long way to travel. 7 shows.
We're proud of you, young fella.
It's
awesome. I mean, the guy hasn't even turned 30 yet. He's traveling down.
What is he, 28?
I don't know. He never gets older, this guy.
I've known him since he was 18.
You know? Yeah. I know. He doesn't get older. It's like I'm getting older, and I feel like every time I have a birthday, he's going 2 back or something. You know? But
he's still got all his hair.
So real quick, before we get into kind of some topics, topical stuff that we want to talk about, we've got a show this coming Friday.
You, sir, have a headlining gig, and I'm really proud of you, and I'm really happy to be opening up for you. The Michigan Theater in Jackson, Michigan.
Yeah.
And in Michigan.
Beautiful venue, man.
This is one of the really nice venues still around.
Mm-hmm.
Seats about 600, and we're at capacity because we're at 50% here in Michigan.
Yep.
And they've sold out all 300 available tickets. The promoter has asked us to do a live Sal and Bob show before the show. And what's the venue? Where are we
going to
be?
So we are going to be at a place called The Nightlight.
The Nightlight.
It's a stone's throw away from the theater. So we're going to go there. Really, really cool bar. And we look forward to that. We're going to be there like from around 4 till about 5:30.
Yes.
We're going to be in their bar area. Let me give you the address to this place. It's 145 West Pearl Street, Jackson, Michigan. Number is 517-990-6795 if you want to just check it out. And look, if you're going to the show, if you're going to our show that starts at about 8 o'clock, come see the live show
beforehand.
Have dinner. I heard their food is unbelievable, but we're going to be there. We're going to be giving away some coffee cups to patrons and talking about our show and the show we're doing.
Very proud of you that you're headlining that venue. That is a jewel.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I'm excited.
And I'm very happy to be opening for you, buddy.
Yeah.
I hope we'll both have great shows.
It's going to be great. And I appreciate, you know, you're a headliner in your own right. And I appreciate
you know how we do.
We do it. we don't care. And that's why I chose you. Plus, we want to do the show. And I opened up for Landau there about 4 or 5 years ago. It's a beautiful, beautiful theater. And
I'm
excited. So that's what's going on there. So what else is going on? Anything
besides
going on
besides this sausage and pepper plate that I ordered again? I'm having a second helping of this.
The soup they have is unbelievable.
I love this soup, man.
The broth is so good.
Yeah, this chicken soup is the best you'll ever have.
Oh, man.
So, I don't know. There's a lot going on in the world, really. I mean, things have calmed down politically since Cheeto is out of office. But
it has.
You know, significantly. But, you know, I mean, Biden's doing his best. We're not going to get into politics right now. But there's a feeling, and you've said this for the last several months, that the Roaring Twenties are just around the corner. And the United States at this moment has 110 million fully vaccinated people that have gotten both of the Moderna or Pfizer shots or one of the Johnson & Johnson. So we're at one third of the country is fully vaccinated.
We're almost there, man.
The infections are going down. Things are opening up. It just feels so good, doesn't it?
It feels really good. Oh. I mean, there's concert tickets being sold. They said that the cruise ships are going to be, leaving the ports around September, maybe even sooner. But you're going to have to show you're vaccinated to get on.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, maybe not in the future you might not have to, but right now when it first starts, they just want all vaccinated people on there. We were kind of joking around. You know, I was listening to the radio on the way to Jannetty's and was listening to an update how sweatpants sales have gone down now for the very first time.
Oh, yeah.
In over a year, and formal wear is starting to pick up. So So the signs are all there, man.
Yeah, signs. The pandemic is coming to an end in the United States. Yeah, people are wearing pants and deodorant, going out and, you know.
Yeah, deodorant sales were down.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, because there's all these markers in the economy showing that people are gearing up. The spending is going crazy. The economy grew at a 6.8% rate last month. Now, that's not... Now, in normal times, that would be huge news, just crazy news. Economies don't grow that fast. In general, if you're at 2.5%, 3%, you're killing it. But it was down for so long. Now it's growing at these rates that people are like, oh, my God, buy, you know, get your properties, get your stuff, get, you know, buy stocks. And it's good to see the country getting excited again.
It is. This article that I'm reading, it's a CNBC page. It says retailers like Urban Gap and Nordstrom prepare for customers to return to stores and refresh their wardrobes. They continue to face congested U.S. ports and contain shortages, which will make stocking shelves with new items all more difficult. So it may be difficult to get these clothes.
It's going to be like that once everything.
And that started at about the end of February. Seven of the top 10 selling items on Anthropologie's website were dresses. The company, a unit of Urban Outfitters, said this week during an earnings conference call, until that point, it said it was lucky to see just one or two dresses break into the top 10 list. Now there's seven. So women are buying dresses again because they know they're going to be leaving the house. You know, mm-hmm. Men are buying
summer dresses. Sal. Summer dresses.
Summer dresses. Exactly. Yes. So we are, well, apparel sales dropped 19% last year.
Yeah.
So
that was a huge blow. I mean, you can just say then that malls everywhere hit 19%. Wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And things of like home things were probably up. I know my brother's busy doing driveways and patios because people are like, hey, I'm hanging out at home. I want a new patio. I want a new driveway.
Like Home Goods went crazy. People nesting, just saying, okay, this is where I live for the next year.
Yep. A buddy of mine, or a guy I went to high school with, Gordy, lives on Wall Lake. He sells water sport stuff. He said this the best year he's ever had. He's been doing this for 25 years. And he said he's never sold more. What are those things called? Those
jet skis. Because people are staying at home on the lake. They're and you know what else? Trampoline sales. Nobody would have guessed that. But because people were hibernating at home, they wanted their backyards to be entertaining for their kids. Trampoline sales, swing sets. You couldn't get a swing set. But I'm going to say this.
Unbelievable, man.
I did my part for the apparel industry.
Yeah.
I continued to buy suits. I did. They're all black.
Yes, you did.
But I bought them.
You bought them for your Zoom shows.
I did. I did. I bought suits during the pandemic.
But yeah, you definitely did your thing. I on the other hand, did not. I bought T-shirts. If I bought anything, I bought T-shirts.
Well, I'm an idiot.
I bought maybe a couple pairs of jeans, but I bought a lot of pajamas, too. You know, just hanging around the house and the apartment, you know. I wasn't going to go get dressed. I mean, then we started doing some gigs, and I started dressing up.
Yeah, here we are. We're finally out at a restaurant. We've done a couple of these. During, you know, the pandemic, we did it pools late last summer. We've done a couple. But one of the weird things, one of the unintended consequences of the pandemic easing and hopefully ending soon, and it looks like it is, there's all kinds of things happening in the country. Things that are being purchased and things that are not being purchased as a result of the pandemic lifting. And we're gonna get into that right now. One of the interesting things that I read about was that with the pandemic lifting, gas prices are going to jump. In the United States, it's summer, and the gas companies screw us every year with that. There's always some bullshit thing. Oh, there was a refinery in New Jersey that went down, and we couldn't. So, gas prices are now 30% higher. They're going to pull that on us.
Memorial Day weekend, they'll be $4.
Oh,
guaranteed.
Yeah.
July 4th weekend, mm-hmm. all through the summer.
Yeah.
Because people are traveling. I read an article somewhere where they said a lot of people are taking vacations this year because of last year.
Yeah.
But they might not necessarily fly. They may rent cars. So rental cars might be out.
Yeah.
Anything to do with driving across this country, gas, you know, rental cars.
Insurance, car insurance.
Car insurance. Yeah. People getting, whether they've got the RVs and, you know, those they go on...
Campgrounds?
Yeah, campgrounds. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all mm-hmm. going to be slammed, packed.
Right, those are going to be up.
Yes,
going to be up.
All that stuff's going to be up. All that travel stuff, because people couldn't travel last year. We were in a lockdown almost, and nobody did anything. Now, this year, although we're still kind of going through this thing, it's opening up.
Yeah. So. Here's a really interesting one. I love these little side stories that don't get a lot of attention. Sort of like when you hear them, you go, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be readily apparent to you. Okay. Now that people are starting to go to the movies again, there's a crop, an American crop, that hasn't kept up with the demand because nobody's been eating this stuff. Which crop do you think is now going to be in huge demand and there will be a shortage initially this summer?
Popcorn?
Corn, yes, corn, yeah, okay. Because they turn it... And certain yeah. corn is dried and turned into popcorn kernels.
Yeah.
Now they're saying that if people return to the movies like they did pre-pandemic, that you might have a hard time getting all the popcorn you want.
I mean, and the prices are going up, too. Like
yeah.
all this grocery stuff is going up.
Oh, yeah, everything's going up.
You know, I don't. Did you hear the story about the beef thing with Biden or something? I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
it's
that was
something of what to do with the farmers.
It was
or
some
something.
Bullshit story that somebody. Yeah, it was some bullshit story that somebody planted. Somebody on the Republican side planted that Biden said, you know, you don't eat hamburgers or you're not going to be able to get a hamburger. It's like just stop. It was just some silly thing that got traction for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, and both parties do it. They say some. Dumbass thing, and people.
Not that
it.
I've been eating a lot of burgers lately, but every time I do want one, I get one. I never have any problems getting any. Right?
I have not.
Wendy's,
yeah,
anything I want, I can get yeah. it at every corner.
Mm-hmm.
So now, some of those places, it's not real meat, but hey, I can still get it. You know?
it's an Impossible Burger. That kind of meat.
I actually like the Impossible.
I do
burger.
Too. I'm I couldn't not, tell the
I
difference.
I have no problem with it. It's still 1,500 calories. It's, but,
yeah, there's no benefit in, yeah. in eating it. It's full of sodium and crap. But here's another interesting trend that I saw. This is kind of weird. You talk about a throwback. Roller skating is experiencing a renaissance all around the country now that
wow.
places are opening up. And I'm not talking about inline skating, Sal. I'm talking about the old four-wheelers.
Wow.
The old ones that nobody owned, that nobody wanted to buy 20 years ago because it was all inline. Well, now people are longing for the past. They're showing
Jeez.
Up at roller rinks. And they're doing the thing, man, with the
wow.
you know, with the mirror ball and with the music, and they're just gliding around. Remember how magical that was
oh,
as a kid, 16, 17?
So great.
It's like, okay, this is the couples.
Yep.
The couples skate. Here
yep.
we go. And they played Lady in Red or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, or Air Supply or what you
right.
know. So, yeah, that's making a comeback.
It's making a comeback.
I'm
people
telling you,
are,
we're just going full circle. It's going to be the 70s pretty soon again.
Yeah.
Because people are starting to dress like that anyway a little bit.
Yeah, some
I mean,
of them
really are.
Some
a lot
are.
Of that retro stuff. I was watching an episode of Conan the other day, and the girl from The Big Bang Theory was on there, and she literally, even Conan said it, he goes, you got a dress that looks like retro. And she goes, oh, yeah, retro's in now. She had a dress that was like that ugly... I shouldn't say ugly, but it was that 70s green.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That 70s
that
green.
Olive, kind of weird.
Yes,
yeah.
The olive. She had a dress on. It looked like that, but you know, she's obviously very attractive, and the dress looked great. And she's like, this stuff is selling like crazy online. I forgot the brand she said it was. But
yeah, people are reaching back to find something to give them comfort, right? And
yep.
our generation, you know, we've worked a long time. We've made some money. And the generation below us, I mean, the same thing. And so they're looking for some way to experience that feeling they had in the past because this has been such a rough year. I don't blame them, right?
Yeah.
I would say this. Wouldn't it be great if the Bee Gees were still alive?
Oh, man.
That would be a huge renaissance. But there's just...
They would
be the
touring
Bee Gees.
Like
now,
crazy.
Now,
right
now it's just B.
Yeah.
It's just it.
Who's
just
left
B.
now?
Barry, that's it.
Barry?
Yeah, there's no...
And he can't. And there's no way he could find two guys that could sing like the two that have passed.
No,
because their voices were so distinct.
He did concerts up until the, you know, COVID hit. I remember that. And he still got a good voice, unlike some a lot of the folks.
What if there's good BG tribute bands out there? I've never heard of any.
I think I know the reason why. Because you got to sing in falsetto.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that, man, you can't be a BG tribute band.
You can't. I'm really shocked that Journey has a good tribute band because of his distinctive. But they found a guy.
I don't know the guy's name,
but they found the guy because he was in a tribute band
from the Philippines.
He was a tribute band guy. Yes. And they brought him in.
Yeah,
to tour in 100,000. I mean, what a great story is. That guy not? Why haven't they done a movie about that guy?
I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
I really thought if you would have told me 20 years ago who's not going to have a tribute band, I would have probably said the Bee Gees and Journey because of the voices.
Too
of the
distinctive.
Singers.
Yeah.
But Journey did it. They
found the guy
bands.
to hit those Perry high notes.
But Bee Gees are very tough. I don't know. Off the top of your head, do you know another band that you would think would be very, very tough to tribute?
I
don't know. Those may be the only two.
You want to know? Okay, my favorite performer of all time, I've got everything he's ever done, is Elton John.
Yeah.
You don't hear people covering his songs.
No, that's another good one.
Because
right.
It's like, really? What are you going to do?
No.
It was perfect.
If someone comes along, they're going to be booked all over the country.
Exactly.
The
and I've actually seen an Elton John tribute guy over at Casino Windsor about 10 years ago. And he was fine. I mean, he dressed up and did the thing. But Elton bent a lyric like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to because Bernie Taupin wrote when I say uncomfortable lyrics, not uncomfortable to listen to, but he wrote difficult to sing songs, and Elton knew how to create a melody and to bend those lyrics to make the song. Well, that's why he's not covered a lot.
Yes.
Look at me. I sound like Cliff Clavin.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Nami.
I mean, I put you on a spot with that one because we really didn't talk about this off air, but I mean, it's just interesting. Like a couple of years ago when that Sweetwater Club was open out in Waterford, you'd do comedy and then a tribute band would open or close the show.
I opened for an Alice Cooper tribute band.
Did you? I opened up for Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, really?
So I was like, okay, I've got to stay because most of the time you do your set and you maybe leave.
Yeah, you just want to get
Poison,
the hell out.
I'm getting the hell out of there. You know, I just don't want to. But the night I did it, it was Bruce Springsteen. So I'm like, oh, I got to stay. And he packed them in.
He came in. Okay.
And you know what? I got to say, he didn't sound like Bruce Springsteen, to be honest with you. But he was really good.
But he brought the energy.
He was a good singer. Okay. It was a good energy. The band was excellent. They were great musicians. He just didn't sound like them. But he kind of looked like them a little bit. And I went up to him after. I said, hey, man, you did a really good job.
Because
he did. He did. He was very entertaining. Well, but he didn't sound like Bruce.
The guy to review that show was our friend Joel Fragomeni. Because there's no bigger Bruce Springsteen fan than Joel Fragomeni.
No.
He's a huge fan. He must be jonesing for a Springsteen concert. Because I want to say, I don't know the number.
20 maybe?
It's been more than that. Definitely more than that. But he's gone to multiple
backyard gig in 1983 as a 3-year-old.
That's that kind of thing with Joel. He's such a super fan. I mean, he goes out of state to see him. You know, he follows the tour, and I want to say, we'll hopefully hear from Joel on this. I want to say that in 1 year he saw Springsteen 6 times.
Wow, man. Think about that, okay? Now, first of all, we got to have Joel on the show.
At the castle last time. It's time to have him on.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, think about those six shows. Now, there's no way he saw Bruce Springsteen in Detroit all 6 times, right? He had to go to Jersey.
He went to Cleveland.
Correct.
And
if you add up 6, just off the top of our head, let's say it's $500 for each show, plus hotel and food for a couple nights or a night. You know, that guy probably spent on 6 shows. I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there, maybe $4,000.
I absolutely believe that. Because Joel isn't sitting in the nosebleed section.
Yeah, so his tickets right alone are probably $250.
And I think he did the meet and greet and all that.
Good for him, man. So we'll have to ask him. I like tribute bands, man. Always. My good friend of mine does a Neil Diamond one.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Neil Lawrence, and he does a fantastic Neil Diamond.
I opened for a Neil Diamond tribute guy in Windsor about 10 years ago. You know our friend Stoney over there?
Yeah.
Okay, this was a huge fundraiser. There was 1,000 people. 1,000 people.
Wow.
And they came to see and hear Neil Diamond songs, right?
Yeah.
Nobody told him there was going to be a comedian in front of him.
So before Sweet Caroline, they got Dirty Bob.
They got Dirty Bob, man. Dirty Bob comes out in the suit, and they're looking at me like, wait, you're the guy between us and Sweet Caroline. We hate you.
Yeah.
Shut up. Get off stage. And I had to do a half an hour cold, baby. And it got so awful. Because it was 1,000 people, just none of them paying attention except the first two rows. They were having fun.
Yeah.
I just started just saying gibberish.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't make any difference what I did. They weren't following the jokes. They didn't care.
It's got to be so tough. I remember I got offered a gig to open up for I don't know what band it was, but it really doesn't matter because the band's not even out there, and I got an offer to do it out at DTE, you know. But you're going out there like 45 minutes before the band's
people are just twisting up their joints.
I turned it down. It was only like a couple $100 anyway, and I'm like, you know what? Just doesn't seem
no
fun
interest.
To me.
No, I'm with
seem
you, buddy.
Fun. I'm like, nah.
No, there's some of our friends. I was asked to do this, but I couldn't. I had a conflicting gig, but a lot of people we know have done Meadowbrook, which is a lot more civil. Smaller. It's an outdoor venue. It's a outdoor amphitheater, and I know several people out there, including our friend Russ Brown. I know Dave Landau did it.
Yep.
Bill Burchard did it. So they had a good time, but I think it was because Meadowbrook made the announcement: "Hey, there's an entertainer coming on stage now," and they dimmed the lights. They did the right thing. When I did this Neil Diamond thing, I mean, they were halfway through the buffet. You know,
wow.
They're going for seconds of the macaroni and cheese, and I'm trying to tell them jokes.
I think I opened up. I think I did in Dearborn at Joey's one time. Our good friend that passed away here, Bill, called me up, Hildebrandt, and said, "Hey, they're doing it." You know how he talked. Leslie, because Leslie was the manager.
Let me tell you the problem with that.
But he called me up and he's like, "Hey, I'm out of town, and Leslie's got some James Brown guy coming in on Sunday, and will you go over there and do 15 minutes in front of the James Brown crowd? This guy that does James Brown.
A James Brown crowd.
Yeah, James
wow.
Brown tribute.
Okay.
This has got to be 1999, 2000. And I go, "Yeah, Bill, I'll do it." No, I'm driving to Dearborn that night, and I'm like, this is going to be a catastrophe, right? Because these are going to be people waiting for this James Brown guy, you know? I mean, James Brown, he's energetic.
Yeah,
right. I was a stand-up comic, and I'm driving. Long story short, they were unbelievable. They couldn't have been nicer to me.
Oh, that's great.
They were into it. You know, I did 10, 15 minutes, and I said, I forgot what he went by. I think it was like, you know, whatever his real name was as James Brown, I had introduced him. He comes out, and he rocks it, and everybody's having a good time. I had a great time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it, man.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It just goes to show you, some of the shows that we dread,
we don't know. We don't know what we're going
to
get.
Wind up being really fun, and some of the ones we look forward to wind up being, you know, just...
Now, do you think someday as we get on the road here again and traveling all over, which we're doing next week, do you think you're ever going to be driving an electric car to your gig, Bob?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. I do. It's not in my near future in the next year or two, but I'm definitely going to buy one. And I think, in fact, you and I talked about this a while ago. And I had some predictions on that. I really believe in the next in 10 years, half of the cars on the road are going to be electric.
Okay.
And in 20 years, you can't buy an internal combustion engine. They're done.
According to an article on Electrek, they're saying that a study has looked into why about 18% of electric car owners go back to gas-powered vehicles. Not Tesla, though.
Oh.
The other brand. University of California Davis researchers surveyed just over 4,000 households who own or owned electric vehicles in California and found that about 20% of plug-in hybrid owners and 18% of all electric vehicle owners end up going back to gasoline-powered vehicles. This number will be surprising to some, but the focus of the study was the reasons that led them to switch back to gas. And when you look into those, they are not really surprising. What do you think it is?
Range. Because right now, you and I could get in our internal combustion engine cars and go 400 miles. There isn't an electric car out there that can do that. I think the limit right now is 250, 280, something like that.
Okay.
That would get us almost to Chicago. Not quite, right? So if we're doing a show at Zany's, we got to stop and recharge.
Correct.
That's a pain. That's why I'm not ready to buy it yet. What's the answer?
You're a smart guy, Bob. Therefore, loyalty is higher to battery electric vehicles than plug-in hybrids, which is not too surprising considering plug-ins have been seen as a compromising technology to help the transition to all electric. The main problem appears to be access to level 2 charging at home, which is the most obvious reason and a problem that the industry has been trying to address. Arguably, the biggest consumer advantage to all electric vehicles for consumers is the potential of always having a full tank overnight without having to go to a gas station.
Yeah.
If you can't charge at home for whatever reason, like not having a parking spot or no parking with access to charging, which is often the case for apartment dwellers, it really hinders the EV ownership experience.
Right.
Those EV owners have to rely on public charging stations, which is not as smooth of an experience, but charging networks are trying to add more capacity in urban areas to address the issue. The most surprising factor that appears to influence going back to gas is that women EV owners go back at a higher rate than men, but that may also play a role in the kinds of electric vehicles people are buying. The study found that people buying Tesla vehicles are the least likely EV owners to go back to gas, while Fiat 500 buyers are much more likely to go back to gas.
Okay, well, not surprising there. Fiat. Well, remember, what was the acronym? F-I-A-T. Fix it again, Tony. Yeah, right? Yeah. That's dogged Fiat forever. They can't make a quality car. I'm not surprised by that. Tesla has it down. My brother's got a Tesla. He'd never go back to a conventional engine. Never. He charges it every night, you know, and he doesn't have to do a whole lot of traveling. It's back and forth to the airport. You know, it's got everything he needs.
Now he can charge that at home.
He can charge it at home. Yeah.
Okay. Now I met Eric, a guy by the name of Eric Grady, who owns the Laughing Comedy Cafe, him and Jamie Morgan down in Fort Myers. And when I was down there, he showed me his Tesla and took me for a ride in it and everything. Really cool. I've never seen a Tesla until I saw his. And he told me that now he goes from Fort Myers up to Myrtle Beach because he does some work in Myrtle Beach. Now I don't know how many miles that is, but he says he knows exactly where to stop to charge
Tesla
up for
tells
half hour,
you. Tesla has
minutes.
It electronically on all their maps. They know exactly where it is, how far it is, how many people are charged right now, how long it's going to take you to get a full charge. Tesla's done all that work for them. So that's why they're selling the most cars. Wow. Elon Musk is a friggin' genius on so many levels.
We're going to talk about him. We are starting a new segment here on the Sal and Bob Show. We're going to have the Musk moment.
Musk moment.
Because this guy's doing so much. It's amazing what this guy's
getting
into.
He's the Thomas Edison of our time.
He's the most impressive human being I've ever met, or I've ever heard about in my entire life.
His
name is great.
Yeah.
Everything about. So we're just going to follow this guy every week and see what he's doing. Maybe we can even someday get him on our show.
Let's have the Musk moment right now.
Well, I want to talk about, before we do that, I want to talk about something interesting. You said to me over this great dinner we're having at Gennetti's, you said that you think the gas stations are going to be going by the wayside because these charging stations are going to be taken over.
Absolutely.
That is going to be so weird.
It is going to be weird. All these corner lots that the gas companies have bought over the years, these premium lots, every highway corner, there's a gas station on every corner, right? Those are going away.
So will they go away, or will they become, instead of the gas pumps, will they just be charging pumps?
I believe they're going to convert some of them to charging stations. There's a weird kind of thing here. Now, you didn't need a lot of space for a lot of time to fill up your car, because I think the average time, they said, is 7.5 minutes. That's what people spend filling up their car, and then they go into Speedway and they get a coffee or whatever.
You're talking about gas.
Gas, and then they leave. Well, it's not that way with electric cars. You have to spend maybe a few hours there if you're getting a full charge. And so you have to be tucked away somewhere. You have to sit there in your car if you're coming off the freeway and you need a full charge. So I really believe that these places that are now gas stations, they're going to become little sanctuaries for electric car.
Now,
owners.
Let me ask you this, because we live in the Detroit metro area, and everybody knows that a lot of the gas stations here are owned by Middle Eastern people. We all, you know, it's
yeah,
no surprise.
What are they going to do?
So now, am I going to stop at a charging station, go in and go, hey, Sammy, give me 15 minutes on 10?
Am I going to do that? Yes, I believe it. Yes, you know, I absolutely
believe
that.
The thing goes out at 17 minutes. I'm, hey, he's charging me 3 minutes over here. Yeah. What's going on? I mean, that's probably, you know, hey, you know. I mean, what?
I didn't mean to cough into the mic, but yeah. I mean, this is the unbelievable sea change that's going on.
Yeah, pound of weed because I gotta watch Porky's in my car. Why I charge
you
it?
You watch Porky's and Porky's too because I came in here on empty and I need to get to
why
the.
Why do
UP.
I say Porky's?
It's I don't know because it's funny.
So
it's got
dumb.
The it's got the P and
Nate,
the K
cut
sound.
That. Cut that.
P's and K's are funny. No, don't cut it. It's funny. You know what? Who knows what they're going to wind up being? But I'm going to tell you, all that corner real estate all across the country, they're very small. They can't handle a lot of cars coming
in. No, because there's only like six pumps at a speedway
exactly.
or eight pumps.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's really
going
to be...
Charging stations are going to be the size of like a Kmart parking lot, right?
Well, I mean, if
you... could
if
be.
Yeah, they could
Shit,
be.
They might as well just be drive-in theaters and then
well,
you charge
they
it.
Could be.
Charge
I mean, who knows? I don't know. But, I mean, I think most people are going to charge them at home. But if you're on the road, look at... Okay, we're on the road. You and I need to go to... I don't know.
Chicago, or whatever.
The Comics Cafe, or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that still around?
I think so.
Okay,
think
so we're going to the Comics Cafe. That's more than one gas tank right now.
Oh, and like it's, gas? Would, it's 4 hours? Four
yeah,
hours back,
and it would be more than one charge if we were in an electric car. So if we're going to get there, we have to stop somewhere outside of Buffalo, and we need to juice up.
Now, if we're not going like a day before a show, let's say, like you just said... We would have to leave. It's not like you can say, okay, the show's in 5 hours. It takes me 4 hours to get there, so I can leave. You can't. Now, if you got to charge for 2 hours on the road, you got to leave accordingly. But you're saving money on gas, so I'll take it.
Absolutely, yeah. So you leave early, but you're spending nothing on gas, which is great. But I thought, too, that one of the funny consequences of this, and we were talking about it when we were leaving Ann Arbor over the weekend. There was a Tesla being charged in the parking lot, the parking structure. And there was just a cord coming out of the wall plugged into this guy. And anybody could have just walked up there and just pulled that cord out of there. I'm like,
there's going to be kids doing that.
Oh, they're going to be doing that all over the place. So
Are
that leads me to
me?
Believe there's going to be secure charging stations.
Or maybe like a locking mechanism.
Yes. And on the road, it's going to be, it's like, you don't want to just go to a rest stop, right? Because there's weird stuff going on. And so they're going to have secure charging stations that Tesla is going, you know, they've already bought up land to do this. These are forward thinkers, right? But these places are going to be little oases
to
go with your car, to get a little rest, watch a movie, buy some food, some upscale stuff.
Yep.
That's what we're coming
to,
bud.
That's
I believe
be.
That.
And then maybe 50 years down the line, maybe when we're long gone, people are going to drive around and a gas station will be like a phone booth today. Right?
Yeah.
People are going to go, wow, look at that. There's a gas station over there.
Yeah, there'll
there.
Be a
look
few. Somebody's going to sell them because there's going to be classic cars that people want to drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
Always be that.
Good. That's a good analogy, Sal, like a phone booth.
Yeah, like a phone booth.
Like AOL users. By the way, do you know?
I'm still AOL, man.
You're an AOL email user. You don't connect to the internet on AOL.
No.
Okay.
No.
Listen, this is sort of apropos of nothing here, but... It just reminded me, there are still 2.5 million AOL users, dial-up users, in the United States. Yes, they're using the modems.
Wow.
Yes, there's no cable hookup, there's no satellite because they're on farms, they're in rural areas.
Yeah.
And yes, 2.5 million AOL dial-up users.
Well, now, hang on. Biden just signed that, or he's about to sign the $2 trillion infrastructure, which we're supposed to get with band with that. So they're going to work
so
on that.
So that may eliminate that,
it's going to eliminate that, hopefully. So.
And then Radio Shack is out of business, too.
Well, we're going to do a new segment here called the Musk Moment. And we're going to find out what's happening in Elon Musk's life. Now, you mentioned something. He's going to be on SNL next week. That's going to be one of the most watched SNLs, I think, maybe in the history of the show.
I believe it. I haven't had any interest in watching that show in years. It's just so, you know what? It's just so formulaic. There's no surprises to it anymore, but I'm watching this one.
I can't believe he's hosting that. He just does.
I love it.
That's going to be so cool. God, think about, because I've seen a, what do you call it? Tina Fey did one time where she let you see how the whole Saturday Night Live week works.
Yeah.
How they get in, you know, they do the show on Saturday night. They're up on stage at the end.
They start on Tuesday, right?
Sunday
they do.
Well, Tina Fey used to, because she would go on Sunday night. Actually, she even said sometimes, you know, they're all on that stage and that great song playing. I forgot. Yeah. I love that end of the show. Oh, all hugging. And she said in her interview that she would go up to her office after that night. Everybody else would go to the bar.
Yeah.
And she would go up and go, who's our guest next week? Tom Hanks. And she'd start writing shit.
Wow.
For Tom Hanks night.
That's why she's so good, man. You know what?
But
Tina Fey is a cut above, and Amy Poehler, but Tina Fey in particular.
What workaholic, she was talking.
What an awesome creator. She's so funny. She's never done a bad skit, never done a bad movie.
No, she's brilliant, man. But can you imagine the crew coming in, the cast on, let's say, Monday morning?
Yeah.
And now you've got Elon Musk. You have so much potential skits.
Uh-huh.
You can do a charging station bit like we just wrote.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can do anything with that guy. You can do a moon bit. I mean, you know, because the thing.
Yeah.
God, I wonder. I hope they come up with some good stuff because
they
got
better
a lot of,
and they better use him. Now, did you hear the story that there are some cast members that say they may boycott being on the show with
Why?
Him?
Because what's he political? I don't even know what his political
affiliation
is.
He was one of these COVID deniers a year ago where he said, it's not as big a deal as you think it is. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, blah, 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 blah. He was being Elon Musk. He was being, a blabbermouth.
Yeah.
So these guys, these entrepreneurs, the guys like Musk and, Bezos, they say and do things they regret. But he rubbed some people the wrong way. Apparently, some of the cast members, the female cast members, say he's a misogynist, possibly a racist. I don't know. Everybody's a racist, apparently, these days.
I don't know.
So now Lorne Michaels came out and said if people don't, certain cast members don't want to appear with him, they don't have to. And I thought, you know what? Be a goddamn performer.
You know
Get
what?
Out there. You're on Saturday Night Live. Do you know the privilege you have to be on live TV? Get out there and do your thing and stop complaining.
I'm right with you. As you were saying that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, these cast members, they're trying to get airtime. You know, some of these guys go months without getting a lot of airtime because they're not in skits, whatever.
Because they're not funny.
Whatever the reason is. But let's say You're a lower tiered actor on that show, right? Or character on that show, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not getting a lot of skits. All of a sudden, all these guys above you are saying, "I don't want to be in a skit with Elon Musk."
Yeah.
And you're at the bottom of the tier.
Like,
Wouldn't you say I'm in, no matter what you think about the guy? So anyway,
absolutely. And you know what? There's one guy I hate to single out one. Individual, but Beck Bennett, he's been on that show for like 6 years now. I don't remember a single thing he's been in. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've
seen him on there.
I don't know why he's there. He's actually become the token white guy.
Maybe he's married to Lorne Michaels' daughter or something.
I don't know, but he got fame doing like commercials. And then he was funny on that because the writers of the commercials knew how to use him. But this guy has never done a single funny skit.
He's probably going to do the funniest thing with Elon Musk now.
Beck
just
Bennett,
you said that.
Okay. I could be alone on that. We'd like to hear from you if you agree with me or disagree.
Send us a tweet or a Facebook message. Look at these cast members.
I don't even know. Andrew Dismukis.
They've got a lot of them now, too.
Punky Johnson, Lauren Holt, Chloe Fineman. Okay, she does like a half-assed Britney Spears. It's just nothing. There's no... I don't know. Chris Redd, meh. Heidi Gardner. Mikey Day is funny. I think they misuse him. Alex Moffat is funny. Michael Shea, he's funny. Kyle Mooney, I think, is funny. Colin Jost, he's the head writer. You know, he's responsible for most of the stuff. Pete Davidson makes me laugh. A.D. Bryant, what?
Yeah.
Well, how long are you going to be on that show, lady? 10 years? Are you ever going to do anything funny?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, they had a thing a couple weeks ago. This Bowen Yang.
I haven't watched it in a long time, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to watch it next week, though.
He did a thing where he was the iceberg that sank the Titanic. And he comes on Weekend Update, and he's got this hat on, like this ice hat.
Yeah.
He looked like a Packers cheese head. Yeah. And his face is painted up, and he was so funny. You know, one of the few inventive things that have come out of that. But anyway, all right, look at me. I'm criticizing
Bryant.
These people.
I do a good, I don't know who does her off stage, but I can kind of talk like that guy.
Who's that? Oh, the announcer?
That does the off, that announcer. Ladies and gentlemen, Amy Bryant. And he goes through all the names, and he goes, now welcome Tom Hanks.
There you go.
He's got that voice.
I like it.
I always used to think I could do that.
I do one impression.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we did Christopher Walken impressions a few years ago on the show. But I do one. It's Ray Romano.
You do a really good Ray Romano.
Yeah. I had a TV show in the 90s. You guys watch that? Yeah, David Letterman got that for me. Yeah, Brad Garrett, you know, I was with my wife, had some kids.
There you go. That's my impression.
Raymond. I'll do Brad Garrett.
All right. That was a good one.
Yeah, I can do Brad Garrett pretty good. No, that's a very good Ray Romano.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Elon Musk because he's got so much going on. Like, this is like, because we can just Google Elon Musk every week and there's something going on in his life because he owns all these companies. He's got, like, this is one that just popped up. I didn't even know he had this company. It's called Neuralink. And co-founder Max Hodak leaves Elon Musk's brain implant company.
Wow. Didn't know that.
So he has a brain implant company. Okay. And this guy's
a brain implant. Wasn't there a person that volunteered for that recently?
Let's see here. Without providing evidence, Musk has boasted that Neuralink's devices could enable superhuman cognition or solve autism and allow paralyzed people to operate smartphones or robotic limbs with their minds someday. I mean, this is the kind of shit this guy's working on.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't even know he had this company, you know? I mean, he's got so much going on. But anyway, this guy, his CEO is leaving. Founded in 2016 with Musk investing tens of millions of his significant personal wealth, Neuralink is also developing surgical robotics to implant its devices, essentially sewing tiny wires about a quarter of the diameter of a human hair to connect the implants to the brain. This guy's got to be the smartest guy in the world.
He's got a tunnel under Vegas. Do you know that?
He's got a
tunnel.
Because he's going to try to get the traffic.
Yeah, it's a super high-speed tunnel to get from one end of the strip to the other in like a minute, something like that. And it's got mixed reviews, but this is what I love about the guy. He's got all these irons in the fire. He's such an inquisitive.
Yeah, so we're gonna have the Musk moment every episode because he's always getting himself into something. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about his SNL thing next week. So we'll do that, but we're going to have the Musk moment every week here on the Sal and Bob Show. But, I mean, Tesla's on thin ice with Chinese regulators. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, you can Google this guy, and more shit comes up on him.
Well, how'd you like to be his latest child, okay? You have an unpronounceable
A-E-I-O-U.
Name. Yeah.
That was one of my tweets.
Just call him the vowels. Yeah, I love that. He said, now his partner... she's a singer. What's her name? Canadian musician. Real name, Claire Elise Boucher.
She's a singer? His wife is a singer?
Yeah, she's a
Why
singer.
Why doesn't he just implant Celine Dion's freaking voice inside of her tongue?
He probably will do that someday. But so the name looks like the letter X and A-E, capital A-12. All right? So Elon says... that it's just pronounced. Actually, he told Joe Rogan, it's just X, the letter X, and then A-E, pronounced Ash. X-Ash. That's the name of his child. X-Ash, his latest contribution to humanity.
He's the only guy on earth that his kids' names are the exact same as his license plates on his cars. You know, it's just what.
Maybe that's how they named it.
EXS.
The way he went out to his, you know, his super custom souped up Tesla, looked at his California license plate.
His Tesla posts record income of $438 million for the last quarter. Revenue surges by 74%.
Yeah.
This guy's literally one of the richest men in the world. And I hope he changes the world. He's a brilliant guy.
He is changing the world. And people don't get the level at which he's changing it. When you survive the attacks from all of the big automakers in Detroit, and they attacked him for years. Jeez. They tried to put him out of business. They screwed up his supply chain. They stole people from him. They tried to sue him, you know, for patent infringement, all that stuff. He survived all that and now has the world's premier electric car company. Now, there's other ones building electric cars now, but the people that tried to put him out of business are now saying, hey, man, we got to jump in this pond.
Yeah.
Because this dude is leading the way.
Wow.
And Ford has a huge presence in that. GM has a huge, but they see it. They know it. It's happening. There's no stopping this.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting dude. And we're going to, if you like Elon Musk, we're gonna follow him here on the Sal and Bob Show. And
the
Musk moment. We have gone over our limit here. We like to keep a short podcast so people can listen
but
while they're running, walking, whatever you're doing, but we don't like to be, you know, we're not, you know, we just don't like to have these long shows.
Yeah, I mean, we do try to keep it under an hour, 45 minutes, something like that, but yep. We didn't this time, so what? We gave you some interesting information. We're so social, Sally. We're on every platform you can think of.
All the platforms. You can see
Twitter.
Instagram. Stitcher.
Proud members of the Perfecta Podcast.
Proud
Network.
Members of the Perfecta Podcast.
Proud recording artists on tour records.
On tour records. You can see us everywhere. Just Google us. And
yeah.
And also, if you're in Michigan and you're listening to this, come out to the show this Friday if you want to get tickets. If you're near Jackson, come on out. Jackson, Michigan, that is. And, yeah, man, it's going to be fun. You know, it's May now, so we're
come out and see my show partner Sal kill it.
It's going to be
at the Michigan Theater in Jackson.
Come and see you kill it.
May 7th.
Not Friday,
May 7th. Hey man, I'm just greasing the skids. You're going to have a great show. Well, I'm happy to be
warm them up for me. I appreciate
it
having
fun.
A pro in front of me. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it is.
And can't wait for that, man. So definitely hit us up. If you have any Elon Musk information, please
send it.
Tweet it to us or Facebook us. Anyway.
An Elon Musk scuttlebutt and innuendo.
Yeah, and another shout out to Laura Jannetty here. They just made
thanks,
the most wonderful
for
meal for us.
Up here.
Check out Jannetty's holeinthewall.com, Jannetty's.com, and check out all the events she has. I believe her dinner theaters are starting up now in May.
And our comedy is starting up in June.
Our comedy.
We have shows, and we're going to make that announcement next show.
Yep, we're going to do a show, I believe, June 5th. Again, check out both of our friends. Jason Magic plays there a lot. Just a great place for dinner, great place for a theater show, whatever that theater show is. Just a great place here in downtown Northville, so check it out.
Great show, Sally. Good
all
being
right,
with you.
Guys, have a good week out there, and we'll see you next week for our Mother's Day edition.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll say hi to all the mothers out there.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.